Friday, I was going to speak to the ladies here. We had a great time meeting with the ladies. And then I realized that Ange has done his back. And I was really disappointed. And I'm about to go and visit him at home. And lo and behold, I finished the meeting. He's here at church. You can't stay home. And so, you know, he's always wanting to do things. So anyway, we ended up going to lunch. We walked. We couldn't go in the car because it really sore back. And so we went to the car. And I'm thinking, just before that, I'm thinking, mate, normally Lebanese have a back, not Greeks. But anyway, it just shows you that Greeks are in it as well. I'm really glad to be able to speak to you this morning on this beautiful topic. I'm also glad that I got my niece again and their kids, but also a special friend, Pierre and Nardo. Just would love to give them a big welcome. It's just good to have you. The topic of forgiveness is an amazing, amazing topic that I believe affects us throughout our life. And if we understand it the way God wants us to understand it, the Word teaches us, I believe we will spare ourselves so much pain, so much bitterness, so much diseases. The topic of forgiveness is an amazing topic, a needful topic, a topic that affects all our life, all our relationships. And it is something that unless we understand and we live, we will never really enjoy all that God has for us. What a great story we just had read. It is this passage, is a story of a sinful woman, let's say a prostitute for whatever we want to call it, a prostitute, then a religious man and a forgiving savior. Three people in that story. And, you know, this religious man who I understand, if he's from the Middle East like us, very proud, he's done it in society, has a position. He's a man of influence. He's invited other people of influence because we don't invite people who are not influential. We want to hang out with the best, so we invite the best, and that's what he's done. And Jesus, who's a popular on the road there, being known for his teaching. Not necessarily that he is something great for this man, as in he's maybe a prophet, maybe a great teacher, but he's invited him. And he thinks by inviting him, well, we get to know what he teaches, but above all, it will make us sound that we are important as well. We've invited someone important, it makes us even more important. And he's got Jesus there. This is a story, really, about forgiveness. It's a story of an amazing forgiveness. Now, there are three main lessons I would like to share with you this morning. Of course, there's more. But the first is that Christ came to save sinners who seek his forgiveness. Christ, the mission of Christ, I have come, he said, to save sinners who turn to him. That's what he's come to do, and turn them, of course, into disciples. He has come to save sinners. This woman was considered a great sinner by others. She was considered as someone gone. She's a prostitute. She's beyond forgiveness. It's too late. She was someone, it's finished in their sight. Someone we don't think will have any chance, will have any opportunity for forgiveness at all. Yet our Lord gave her the greatest forgiveness. And we see that those, the religious leader and the other people who were good and upstanding, moral, they did not kill anyone, they did not commit adultery in their sight, they did not steal, they did not swear. They, unfortunately, went away unforgiven. Those who thought would be the people to be forgiven went away unforgiven. That's a shocker. Especially for those of us who we think, I'm sure I would be forgiven. I'm sure I'd go to heaven because I'm a nice person. I'm a good person. And yet this story is a shock that the person who actually gets eternal life is this sinful woman that we think she would not have forgiveness or eternal life, and those who should did not. That's amazing. And there we see that, friends, that Christ is attracted to those who are sinners, who turn from their sin to Him. Jesus said, all that come to me, I will what? Not cast out. Again, Jesus said in another passage, I've come to seek and save the lost, the sinners. I've come to save sinners. Another passage, Jesus said, I did not come for those who are well, but those who are sick, like me. We are all sick if we claim to want forgiveness. We need to realize that we are sick in sin. We are all sinful. We are all in need. Jesus said, I've come for those who believe they are sinners, who are sick. While Jesus is the Holy Son of God, He hates sin, and He will ultimately judge all those who do not repent and turn to Him. But Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery a very powerful thing. He said, not only no one condemns you in that act, but He says, neither do I condemn you. Go your way from now on and sin no more. I firstly have not come to condemn you, to judge you, to sentence you. I've come to forgive you. I've come to break the power of sin over your life. In this story, Jesus showed us and showed the Pharisees, the religious people, the good people, that He loved sinful people. He loved them. And He did not mind sitting and eating with them, because He came to save sinners, of whom Paul said, I'm the chief. This morning, our Lord wants us to realize we are all sinners and in need of His forgiveness daily, not weekly or monthly or yearly. Friends, the Lord's Prayer, we often only understand, give us this day our daily bread. We say, God, give me daily bread. My provision, emotionally, spiritually, physically, my daily bread. But after that, it says, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. Should that not be daily? Absolutely. We should be seeking to go to God and asking Him to forgive us daily and to receive forgiveness daily, like being washed on a daily basis. Here is very important, this understanding of daily forgiveness, daily coming to God and receiving His cleansing. This second thing in this passage is that good or self-righteous people like this Pharisee go away unforgiven. Good people in this passage, as I said, go away unforgiven. Good people go away unforgiven. Why? Why? Because sometimes, or many times, good people trust in themselves and not in God. That's why they will always go unforgiven. Whenever you trust your good works, your good behavior, the way you are nice, the way you do nice things, you help old ladies cross the road, that's nice. But if you depend on your good works and that you've never done anything wrong, I want to tell you, Jesus said, I can't forgive you. Because I've come to those who admit they are sinful, who do not trust in how good they are, but how good I am and in my death for them. And so good people here. Now, a couple of things in this Pharisee or this religious leader that we look at, we can see in this passage, and it could be said of us. Firstly, this religious man was more interested in passing judgment on others instead of seeing his sin also. He was quickly able to see this woman. This bad woman, mate. This is a sinful woman. Do you know Jesus? She's a prostitute. She is sinful. She should be kicked out. Passing judgment. Don't we often sometimes feel like we're better than others and we see others as less and we pass judgment? And that's what good self-righteousness sometimes does. We pass judgments on our wives pass judgments on their husband, pass judgment on the, we pass on the neighbors, we pass on everybody, and we exalt ourselves instead of saying, God, it's only you. But for your grace, but for your mercy, but for your goodness to me, I would be nothing. Another thing about this guy, this religious person wanted to keep sinners out, but Jesus wanted to keep them in. He wanted them in. This Pharisee, if he could have picked her up and thrown her off, I promise you, he would have done that. If I was there and I was that religious person, I would have done that. Because that's the mindset. That's the mindset. But Jesus always says, come to me. The door is always open to those who say, I need you. Boy, he loves that. Jesus loves when you say, I need you, Lord. I can't do it without you. Boy, he wants to hug you and bring you in and forgive you and pour his love upon you. And that's the thing that this person wasn't able to do. The second thing that we see about this passage is that she, this lady, as she saw that that thing that was going on, she didn't feel like, oh no, I should be out. But she knew that Jesus loved her. She knew that Jesus loved her. Even though he wanted to keep her out, she knew Jesus wanted her in. The Pharisees, they looked at sin like the way we look at AIDS. It had no cure for them, and thus the best thing to do was to avoid all contact with her. But Jesus did not need to avoid sinners, but he touched and cured them. He touched and cured them. He is one who touches the untouchable. Somehow, this priest and the other religious people with him found it difficult to be touched by those who would not touch. In all the New Testament, it is interesting, you cannot see one incident in which a Pharisee, a religious leader, is touched by the misery, the sin, the shame, the grief of another person. They do not feel, they do not have compassion, they are not moved for others. But Jesus, he is always moved with compassion. Yet Jesus, the Holy One, did not hesitate to touch or be touched by sinners. May we be like him. The painful reality is that in that our hearts often reflect the priest's attitude rather than Jesus. May we learn to be more like our Lord and less like this religious leaders. Otherwise, we will not enjoy the privilege of being forgiven and understanding forgiveness. You see, self-righteousness blinds and deceives us about our heart and our sin and our need for forgiveness. Be careful not to judge others, and make sure you keep on seeing the big boulder in your eye, the big pole in your eye, before you see the speck in others. Now, finally, the third lesson I would like to really concentrate on is this woman's example of receiving forgiveness. She is an amazing person, an example of how to receive forgiveness. She is an amazing example, and we can learn so much. And the first thing I want us to see in this passage is that when it comes to forgiveness, this woman realized that forgiveness is for sinners. This woman realized that forgiveness is for me. That's for me, Jesus. Jesus is for me, and his forgiveness is for me. It's not just for someone else. It's not just for good people. It's for me. Our Lord neither denied that she is sinful nor minimized it. Because, friends, we all have sinned, the Bible says, and have come short of his standard. We are to understand that forgiveness is for sinners, people like us, and it is a free gift that was paid huge for. Jesus said, those who are forgiven much, love much. When we realize how much Christ has forgiven you, has forgiven us, we will love him so much more. The reason we are loveless sometimes, the reason we don't love the Lord as much as we ought to, is because we haven't got a revelation of how much sinful and ugly our sin is. How it nailed the Lord to the cross. How it deserved hell's judgment. How our sin is such affront to God. How it is against the holy God, Creator. We don't understand it, but please try to realize also how much Jesus did to pay for that sin, because nothing else could cleanse our sin except the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. Our sin is horrible beyond understanding. But when we understand how much he loved us and forgiven us, we go, I can't help but love him. I can't help but be crazy about him. Wow, I love you, Lord. Why do you think I'm bananas for Jesus? Because I understand to an extent, to a little extent, why many of us are bananas for Jesus. Because we understand how much he's forgiven us. And when you understand that, how much he forgives you, you will have so much love for him. The second thing that we learn from this passage is that she understood that forgiveness takes place at the feet of Jesus. I love this woman. She understood that forgiveness takes place at the feet of Jesus. We often want forgiveness at the head, you know, the same face-to-face with Jesus. But she didn't want that. She knew she was sinful. She knew how bad her sin was, whether she's a prostitute or just an ordinary sinner. But she is wonderful in the sense. She knew that forgiveness is coming at the feet of Jesus. That was the place to be. This is the proper position, forgiveness. While Simon, or that religious priest, did not anoint the head of Jesus, did not have his feet washed, did not kiss him, did not greet him, did not make him feel welcome, you know. But this woman came to the feet of Jesus. And friends, that is so, so important. That is where we ought to be. She came, she kissed his feet, she washed them, she dried them with her hair. She did not feel worthy to do otherwise. And it's interesting that in the book of Daniel and in Revelation, when they see God, they fall, it says, right at his feet. Because they see how great, how holy. I want to tell you, this lady knew that forgiveness comes by coming at the feet of Jesus. It's the place where you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. Seeking forgiveness at the feet of Jesus is all about humbling ourselves before Jesus and acknowledging his greatness and our unworthiness, his perfection and our sinfulness. It is about submission to his lordship. Yes, I don't want Jesus just to be my mate. He is my Lord. And when I sin, I want to come to him. I want to bow the knees. I say, God, I'm really sorry, Father. I'm really sorry. I am sinful. I want to come at his feet and I want to recognize that he is God. He is Lord. The third thing about this woman is that she teaches us about forgiveness. Is she believed that forgiveness comes from Jesus Christ and no one else. She believed that forgiveness comes from Jesus Christ and no one else. Well, this woman who came to Jesus was only preoccupied with who? With him. She didn't look at this way or that way or any way. She came and her focus was on him because she believed that forgiveness for her comes from Jesus. And the sad thing today is that many people seek forgiveness from St. Paul, St. John, St. Mary, St. this one, or any other one. But I want to tell you, forgiveness only comes from Jesus. And many times in Scripture, we see when Jesus said, I forgive you, the religious leaders get angry and say, who can forgive sins except God? Absolutely, they're right. But Jesus is God. And that's why he forgives sin. Friend, don't seek forgiveness anywhere else, because no one can forgive you except the Lord. Even David said, when he sinned against others, he said, I ask your forgiveness first, because I've sinned against you above all. She understood that forgiveness comes from Jesus. It doesn't come from the religious leaders. It did not come from anyone else. Number four, she knew, another lesson we learned from her, is that she knew that forgiveness is costly. She knew that forgiveness is costly. Yes, she didn't understand that Jesus is going to go and die on the cross and pay the greatest cost. She didn't understand that yet. She didn't know that yet. But what did she know? She knew it was going to be costly for Jesus to forgive her and accept her, because she was sitting in a place where the religious leaders, where the top people of society, having dinner, and she is there coming to him. She knew that they're going to talk about him, judge him, despise him, reject him, laugh at him, question that he is a holy man. And we see that in the scripture. She knew that it's going to be costly for Jesus. And now, for us who've seen the story, the end, the death, the resurrection, we understand even more that the greatest cost, it was so costly for Jesus to pay for our sins, friends. It was huge. It was beyond, it is beyond what we can fathom, how costly it was for Jesus to pay for our sins on the cross. She knew that from the little that she had. She knew it more later, better. Do you know how costly it was to pay for your sins? It's costly. But she also knew, by coming to the Lord, that it's going to cost her something as well. It did cost her something to seek genuine forgiveness. And I believe it does cost us a little when we do that. And look what happened. She, it cost her true repentance. It cost her true repentance. What is repentance? It's to turn away. She was a prostitute. She stopped being a prostitute and began to follow the Lord and according to his ways. It costed her to stop the past. To repent, to ask forgiveness truly, and stop doing whatever wrong she was, following her own way and own desires and own work. What will it cost you to really repent, to really turn from your sin? Maybe addiction to pornography, addiction to alcohol, addiction to some other thing. Because if you want forgiveness, you need to repent genuinely, and the Lord is very happy to give you forgiveness. You got to do it from a genuine heart. And you're going to say, yes, Lord, I mean it. I want forgiveness, and therefore I turn my back. And if I fall, I know you'll pick me up. And if I make mistakes, I know you'll be with me. But I genuinely want to follow you. That's repentance. It costs. It cost her to pour the expensive perfume on the feet of Jesus. That's all she had, that jar or perfume. Maybe that's her savings, I don't know. But you know what she did? The best that she had, she broke it and poured it on his feet, saying, Lord, I pour my life before you. I surrender. I give you my best. I give you whatever I have. It's for you. It costs her. And that's why we have cheap believers. The reason we have cheap faith believers is because they want forgiveness. They want God to take them to heaven, but they're not willing to say no to sin and yes to the Lord. And we have wishy-washy Christians who've got no real fruit that they are believers in the Lord. It's because they want everything, but they want to give nothing. True repentance, it costs. To follow Jesus, you got to say no and yes to him. It cost her also humility. I believe repentance costs humility. It is important for you to realize that we need to humble ourselves when we ask forgiveness. I can't come and say, yeah, forgive me, Lord, you know, and have this arrogant pride. I've got to come and say, in humility, I'm sorry, Lord. And if it means crying in front of somebody, if it means whatever, it doesn't matter. She didn't care. It cost her to humble herself, to make herself even lower than what she was. But she said, I want forgiveness. I want salvation, and it doesn't matter what it will cost. Now that is a person who will go a long, long way. Fifthly, forgiveness, we learn from her, it involves the affections. Listen to that one. Forgiveness involves the affection. It is not just an intellectual transaction. Oh, Father, forgive me. Yes, I forgive you. Go your way. Yeah, that's I'm sorry. You know, that's a bit too Western, maybe. That's a bit too cerebral. But I see here, what do I see? I see that forgiveness is something that involves tears and emotion. Can you see that? She was crying. She was washing his feet with her tears. What was those tears? They're tears of weeping over her sins, but they're also tears and emotions of joy to be forgiven. But there's tears there. And we often don't want to be tearful. We don't want to cry. We don't want to show our affections. Friends, it is important. I remembered when I realized that Jesus loved me and somebody shared about Jesus with me. I come from a religious background, but I didn't know that Jesus died for me and paid for my sins and I needed to repent and follow him. But when I realized, when he showed me in the scriptures, in the Bible, that we're all sinful, that we need to repent, we need to say sorry to God and change our way of living and live with him. When I saw that in the scripture, or perish, or go to hell, or be condemned, I fell to my knees at 11 o'clock at night. I told you the story, some of you, that I didn't get up from that night, from 11 o'clock at night till about 5 o'clock in the morning, saying to God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way I have lived. I'm sorry for the way I have spoken. I'm sorry for the way I've not made you Lord of my life. I'm sorry, Lord God, for the many ugly things I've done and said. And as I wept, as I confessed my sins, I was a pool of water. And I want to tell you, it was the most beautiful experience of my life, weeping over my sins, being broken because I realize how sinful I am and how holy he is, and yet he loves me, yet he died for me, yet he wants to save me, he wants me to be his child. You think that made me weep? It made me weep for hours. I didn't want to get up because I felt in that weeping there was also joy, there was freedom, there was healing, there was relationship. And it was the most awesome thing, like a mountain fell off my back, to experience the forgiveness and to weep over it genuinely. Wow, how healing, how wholeness the Lord brings when we are broken over our sins. I'll be honest with you, nearly every Sunday I'd go to church as we're singing, and during the week even, as we're singing, I'd be weeping because I'd realize, man, I'm forgiven. I'm loved by God. I have eternal life. Who cares if I don't have this much amount of money or this car or this girl? I'm forgiven. I have eternal life. I'm loved by God. Man, that is enough to make me dance, dance, dance. Yeah, we can dance, right? Yeah. Okay, that's the first time anyone danced in that church, I think. But that's what the Bible says. Is when the disciples healed the guy that was lame, it says he leaped. He leaped and he danced for joy. Forgiveness and healing makes us dance for joy to the Lord. Let yourself be broken. Let the Holy Spirit break you. Let the Holy Spirit come over you and let you weep and let you express, receive his love and don't be afraid of experiencing the love of God, the forgiveness of God. Be it to cry. It is an awesome thing, my dear friends. Finally, the last thing we learned from this woman is that she did not let anything stop her from receiving forgiveness. I love this woman. She let nothing stop her from receiving forgiveness. What a challenge she had. What obstacles she had. Everything was against her. Everything. She was a woman, right? That's the first thing and the worst thing for her. All these male, strongly dominated society had no place for her. But she said, even though I'm a woman, I'm coming to get forgiveness. She was going to be, she had that sense that not only I'm a woman, I'm not invited to this place. She had the fear of they'll kick me out, they will scorn me, there's religious people, they know already that I'm the worst sinner on the face of the planet. She had everything against her, friends. But did she allow it to stop her? No way, Jose. She kept coming. She came in the most impossible circumstance, and she did not let anyone or anything stop her from receiving forgiveness. What is your excuse? What is your excuse that stops you from coming to Jesus and receiving forgiveness? What is stopping you from letting true repentance happen and breaking whatever habit, breaking whatever thing? God, this woman is an amazing example. She had every excuse under the sun not to go there and receive forgiveness. But she did, and she was rewarded big time. Friends, don't let your work, don't let your football, don't let your laziness, don't let anything, anyone, any habit stop you from coming to Jesus and receiving forgiveness and eternal life and a relationship with Him that will hold you from here to eternity. I hope that you'll learn from this woman who was able to do whatever she needed to do to receive forgiveness. And she did, because she was forgiven much. She loved much. Friends, there are some this morning, some of us, many of us maybe, we need to come to Jesus and receive forgiveness afresh. With all that it has, we need to say, Lord, this morning, this message is for me. If it is for you, I want to come to you, Lord. I want to make no excuses. I want to experience your forgiveness afresh. I want to experience your healing, your wholeness, your restoration. I want to be set free. I want to enjoy being forgiven. And I want to enjoy that all that it has. But secondly, I want to not encourage you. I want to encourage you firstly to come to Christ and say, Lord, forgive me. I repent. And I want to repent daily. And I want to enjoy your forgiveness daily. And I want to enjoy being free daily. But secondly, Lord, I want to exercise the power to forgive others this morning. Those who have hurt me. You see, when we receive the forgiveness of Christ, it empowers us to forgive others. I want to encourage you to forgive others this morning by the power of Jesus, by the love of the Lord. Because He's forgiven you so much, you are to forgive those who have hurt you, and you will be free. But if you don't, it is toxic, it is cancerous, it will stifle your growth, it will make you wither, it will make you bitter, not better. I urge you, do not let anything inside be kept. I made a choice long time ago, not only to receive from Him forgiveness daily, but to also forgive daily those who sin against me. And I tell you, I haven't had too many, but there has been always, and I'm sure all of us will experience, at least one or two people who really hurt you, painfully hurt you. And I had to exercise daily, get up in the morning. And I look in that direction of that person. And I say, Lord, I choose. And even though I don't want to, I choose to forgive. I bless them every day till I was set free from whatever that thing, that bondage, that bitterness, that resentment. There is no way I'm going to allow resentment and bitterness to control my life. I want to be free. I want to be healed. I want to be joyful. I want to enjoy God, enjoy my life. I want to enjoy others. There's no place for unforgiveness, my dear friends, no matter what they've done. We don't excuse it. We don't deny it. But we need to be wise that Satan uses unforgiveness to cripple you, to stifle you, to keep you bound and bitter and not enjoy the life that God has planned for you. It is a deception that we fall for. Please, that's one. The third thing is not only must we forgive others, okay, but we need to ourselves realize that if we've hurt others, we need to go by the grace of God and say, I'm sorry, I have hurt you. Would you please forgive me? Full stop. Not, oh, maybe if I've hurt you, maybe if I did this. That was my Lebanese culture. We found it very hard to say sorry. Forget about it. Forget about your culture. Forget about anything. Just go and say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Friends, I encourage you this morning. If you want to grow, if you want to be alive to God, if you want to be and not be sick in here, if you want to just grow in that relationship and blossom, even in your marriage, how much we need to exercise daily forgiveness in our marriage to each other and in our relationship with our kids, in our relationship with our closest people. Friends, forgiveness is medicine to the soul. It is what sets us free from Satan's bondages and all those things that I've talked to you about. Just want to finish with this. This woman, friends, this woman who came, this woman was lost, but when she came to Jesus, she was found. She was loaded with sin, but now through Christ's forgiveness, she was free. She was saved. She was healed. She was restored, and she was empowered to forgive others. Forgiveness is awesome. Do I have a minute to finish with this story? Okay. I didn't tell you this story last time, and my daughter Daniela said, Dad, you forgot to tell him the story of Linda. I said it in the second service. Linda was a lady who I met 7 years ago in a restaurant where I put flyers for the big Christmas outreach. I put the flyers in the restaurant owned by my friend who I mentor. He is one of our future pastor leaders in our church right now. He's an engineer, very well, amazingly gifted guy, done well, builds buildings, does everything. Anyway, and owns these restaurants. So as I saw Linda and 2 other friends, I went and I gave Linda the flyer. And she said to me, are you a Christian? I said, yes, Linda, I'm a Christian. She said, I haven't been in the church for 20 years. I said, Linda, we would love to invite you to our Bible study. And you know the story. Whoever comes to our Bible study, very hard to escape. Because I believe Jesus is there. She came to the Bible study and she couldn't believe the way we prayed and loved God and talked about Jesus and loved each other. And she just said, I want to give my, you know, she committed her life to Christ and started coming every Thursday. But after a number of months, we realized that Linda and her husband were having lots of fights from before, and that he had fallen in love. He was an Orthodox, like a Catholic. He had fallen in love with a Muslim woman. And he has now said to Linda, I'm leaving you. Fall in love with a Muslim woman. And he went and converted to Islam, became a Muslim, and married this Muslim woman. That normally does not happen. Catholics and Orthodox, no way. They might do it just for the sake of something, but not like this. This guy became so indoctrinated with Islam. The clerics taught him Islam like you wouldn't believe. And he became a real follower. But anyway, 5 years ago, he had lots of problems with this Muslim wife. They decided, or she did something really bad, and they decided to divorce. Now, 6 months ago, he ran his first wife, Linda. They have 2 daughters. And they had court fights like crazy. It was unbelievable. But Linda kept on coming to the Bible study, kept on loving God, kept on growing in God. We kept on loving her, praying for her, walking with her. 6 months ago, he said, please, can I come and spend Christmas with you and the kids and bring my dad? And because Linda is a disciple of Jesus, she said yes. He came, he spent Christmas with them. And he looked in the way she was dealing with the house and with the kids, the way that what she has done. He was just shocked the way to see how godly she is, how loving she is, how caring she is. And he said, I have missed this type of life. Because after he divorced his other wife, he went and just lived a horrible life. And he's a general manager of a major, major company in Lebanon. A month after that, he came and had lunch with the girls, with his 2 girls. And she went off to our church, the church that we started 6 months ago. Another time he comes over to spend lunch with the kids, she said, would you please come with me to church? Reluctantly, I think, he said yes. He came to our church. And when you come to our church, it's very hard to escape. Because when Jesus is real in a place, people are affected. It's not that we put chains around you, okay? It's because Jesus is real and people are looking for Jesus that is real. They're not looking for religion. They're looking for a God who's real. As he heard the word of God, as I said to the congregation, I said, he came into this service, he sat right there, and he looked like the chosen frozen, just stern, you know, that sort of thing. And as I preached the word, I thought, God, no, I hope he comes again, you know. We went up to him, said hello, and he, you know, he said, thank you, I liked it. And he came back again the second week, and the third week, and the fourth week. So I said to his wife, ex-wife, and she said, I said, how's he going? She said, my kids would look around as he was listening to you preach the word and was holding back the tears. And I said, that's fantastic, you know. And then he said, I can't help but come to church to hear the word of God. He said, something just compels me. So I met with him, did a Bible study one-on-one about who Jesus is, that he's more than a prophet, that he is God, and the reasons, and about repentance, about believing in Christ, about following Jesus. And I said to him, do you really believe this? And he said, I really do. I said, do you want to give your life to Jesus? He said, I really do. I said, are you ready to renounce Islam, to say no more to the Islamic faith and teaching? He said, I am. He bowed his head, prayed, received Christ, and was transformed. Not only he started coming on Sunday, he started coming on Thursday night. Not only that, the following Sunday, he invited two of the managers, because he works in a Maya store. Two of the managers, he gave them the Sunday off. He said, all I want from you, come to church and hear the word of God with me. And they came and they sat there hearing the word of God. He started telling his friends, the CEOs, about Jesus. And his CEOs have got marriage problems. He'd say to them, don't worry. If you've got marriage problem, I've got a friend. His name is Millard. He'll help you. His Muslim friends can't believe what's happening to him. Why did you turn back from Islam? He said, don't worry. I have a friend. His name is Millard. He will share with you. At least he's doing that. Now, what's more? There's more. The Dentel commercial, there is more to it. What happens? They begin to fall in love with each other. Linda can't believe he's transforming before her eyes. This guy is not who he used to be. The awesome story is that we were able to meet together. I did a marriage course. They said to me, would you please marry us? And I said, let's do a marriage course. We did a four-week intensive marriage course. And part of that marriage course, not only what it means to be a husband, wife, how to live a marriage, what God intended for marriage, but then we talked about forgiveness. And as I talked about forgiveness, how he needed to really ask her forgiveness for the way he lived, for the way he left. And she asked his forgiveness. And they asked forgiveness of the kids and the dad. And forgiveness was going on here and there and everywhere. It was a sight just godly, just holy, just awesome sight to see the forgiveness that was happening. You want to cry? Talk about being intellectual. You couldn't be intellectual there. You just couldn't but cry. And as a result, they're just beautiful. The Lord joined them together. And I married them just 1 week before I came to Australia. Isn't God good? When we forgive, friends, when we release, when we come to Jesus for forgiveness, we are forgiven. We're able to forgive. And we're able to live and enjoy the journey. Would you bow your heads with me and ask God to help us with forgiveness as we come to communion? Just take a minute or two. God is asking you to forgive. First, come to Him. Ask forgiveness from Him. He is the one we need to ask forgiveness from. Talk to Him. Come to Him. Don't let anything stop you, please. This is a holy moment. Holy moment. Come to the Lord in forgiveness. Receive forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Refresh your relationship with the Lord above all. If you're not really made Him number one, make Him number one today. He died for you. He paid for your sins. Come and receive His forgiveness this morning. Receive it afresh. Don't harden your heart. Say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I have sinned. I want to come to you. I want to receive your forgiveness. I want to walk with you. I want to encourage you to forgive others this morning who have painfully hurt you. Forgive because you have been forgiven. And Jesus said, you will not be forgiven unless you forgive. Release it. Don't let Satan hold you in unforgiveness anymore. Say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive. And I release and I bless those who have hurt me and pained me the most. Do not be bound by them anymore. Release forgiveness this morning. May the Lord give you the grace to also ask forgiveness of others. Let the power of your Holy Spirit fall upon us this morning, Lord God. Let the power of your Spirit set us free from the spirit of unforgiveness. Let us this morning learn from this woman and come to you, and come to you daily, and come for forgiveness daily, and walk with you daily, and enjoy forgiving others. God, in the name of Jesus, set us free from unforgiveness. Set us free from the poison, from the cancerous unforgiveness. And let our lives be healed, be restored, and be joyful in Jesus' name. Everybody said, Amen.